Welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I'm your host, Jenna Josephowski, but you can call me Jenna J. I'm a semi-retired professional dancer, dance teacher, and yoga teacher turned certified personal trainer and kettlebell instructor who helps active women learn to lift and get strong with equal parts challenge and compassion. After years of working in the fitness industry, I got sick and tired of watching people, including myself, run themselves into the ground trying to uphold the narrow-minded image of what our culture sees as healthy and fit. But instead of giving it all up, I decided that I'd rather change the game. Call out the BS, extract the good, and help others learn to use movement as a way to build themselves up rather than tear themselves down. On this podcast, we'll explore the intersection of fitness and anti-diet culture and all the gray areas in between. We'll let go of shoulds and judgments and dig into tough conversations with curiosity. Things get pretty spicy around here, so grab your headphones and let's do this. Hey friends, welcome to Tough Cookie Talks. I am back today with the first solo episode that I have recorded in a long time. And I'll be honest, I've been having a really hard time recording these things lately. And I think I finally got the gist of why it's been so challenging for me to record solo episodes is because I recorded, like batch recorded, all of my guest episodes that I have posted so far during the winter when it was cold outside. And for a while, I was focusing on recording in my closet because everybody says that the audio quality is better if you record in a closet. And do you want to know something? I don't care. I no longer care. I am back out in my she shed right now as I'm recording this. It is not really the middle of summer. I guess it's just like the beginning of summer. I have the screen door open. There are a lot of birds in my backyard. Do you hear that? It sounds like a tropical rainforest. I don't know why I live in Illinois, but like there are birds. I feel like pretty soon somebody's landscaper or lawnmower is going to come out and make a bunch of noise. My dog Lucky is in here with me. He may potentially bark. It might be a little bit more echoey in here. Somebody's complained about that at some point. You want to know what? I don't care. If you can hear me and you get the point across, this is good. I have things that I've wanted to say for a while now. And I haven't recorded because I just didn't want to sit in my closets. I wanted to be free and happy in my shed. Isn't it kind of silly how we do that, but like also not? Do you ever have that where you have the hardest time making yourself do a thing for a stupid reason, and then suddenly it dawns on you that the reason you weren't doing it was based on some kind of completely arbitrary rule that like doesn't make sense? So anyway, I'm here. I'm out in my shed. I apologize, but like, sorry, not sorry. Also, if the audio quality is not as good as some of my previous episodes from this season, because today we're going to talk about deloads and specifically different kinds of deloads. And I had actually meant to record this episode a while ago, but there was more to the story and I needed to sit with it for a little bit. So in case you're not familiar, in case you're not somebody who is like super into strength training, a deload is essentially some intentional time to back off from your training, to back off from lifting. And you can do this a number of different ways. Oftentimes, if you're following a strength training program, at the end of a certain length of programming block, oftentimes it's a couple of months, there will be something called a deload week that's programmed at the end of that. And typically what that is just a little bit of a lighter load, often suggestions to lift lighter weights or to do fewer reps and sets, or maybe even throwing some different kinds of movements in there that are different than what you've been working on in that training program, or a little bit more restorative, etc. That is one kind of deload that you will commonly see if you're strength training, and it's a little bit more structured. The other way that you can potentially do a deload, and I encourage my clients to do this inside of Tough Love Strength Club and also one-on-one clients, is that you maybe just straight up take a break from lifting altogether and do some just movements. You know what I mean? That could be a variety of different things. I have recorded and spoken in the past about the difference between movement and exercise and training. So maybe that's just like movement outside of the gym or getting outside or just doing any other kinds of things that you enjoy. So those are kind of two different ways that you can take a deload. You can also have a deload that is scheduled and planned, which I encourage. And then also sometimes you get smacked in the face with a deload that was not really intended, AKA you get injured, you get sick, life kicks you in the ass. And I kind of had both. And a lot of my clients have had both. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory today about where I've been with lifting, how I've been dealing with that, my experience with my deload, what I learned from the experience, how I'm still continuing to work through that as an ongoing process, how I'm reaching out for support, all of those things. So yeah, let's talk about it. My intentional deload week happened at this point, I think around March. So it was a few months ago. I actually wound up taking almost 2 weeks off. Got to give a shout out to Julie Schiller, who I've been working with for the past couple of months doing some recovery coaching, which we'll get to what exactly that is and what I'm recovering from in a little bit. But Julie was on the podcast on both episode 60, which was actually a replay, like the best of season one replay. And then the original was episode 40. It was called How We Show Up Outside the Gym Matters, Recovery for the Other 23 Hours of Your Day with Julie Schiller. And I've been working with Julie now for the past couple of months on recovery. And so what was I recovering from exactly? Life. Recovery from life. When I started working with Julie, I was just looking for somebody to help me hold myself accountable to some of those self-care practices. So, you know, the non-sexy stuff like getting sleep, drinking water, making sure that I am eating enough and well enough for a grown-ass woman who's trying to do a lot of things in her life. Caring for myself, because what I had realized, even though I didn't have anything super acute going on or anything that seemed like, oh, I really need her to help me to recover from like this specific thing, I had a lot of nagging injuries and illnesses going on. And we can talk about why that might be the case. I suspect that the illnesses, because I got sick, y'all, I've had a lot of colds this year. A lot of just like snotty, shitty, icky, like generic, not COVID, not the flu, just like sinusy, shitty feeling crap that's been going on for me. I think it has to do with the fact that, number one, I sent my son to daycare for the first time end of November, beginning of December, and that's when it really started to pick up when he would bring things home. And I think because we spent the majority of the past few years, to be honest, you know, social distancing, masking, washing hands, just being a little bit more cautious with things. And I think as we started to let my guard down a little bit, that's when sickness started to creep in and my immune system needed a little support, wasn't happy. Have also been slowly recovering from this plantar fasciitis that won't die. And this like naggy, I believe it's my pec minor, if we want to get real particular with muscles, like shoulder, chest thing. We had talked about maybe me taking some intentional time off from lifting to see if it would help. I was approaching spring break at that time, which meant that I had some time off from teaching dance. Things were a little bit slower in my schedule. And I'm like, you know what? Let's just see what happens. I haven't intentionally taken this much time off in a while. And Julie was definitely all for that because, as she pointed out, and it is so true, that in many cases, when we don't intentionally slow down, intentionally take that rest, sometimes life just hands it to us. And I feel like life, my body, were giving me these little nagging signs like, hey, Jenna, maybe you need to like slow down and be chill. And so I did. And I am glad that I waited to record this episode, as I mentioned, because after those 2 weeks, I then got forced to take another deload. I was like, motherfucker. I was feeling better. I was ready to go, and we'll talk about what happened during that experience and what I learned. But then I had to do it again, And then again, because after I took those few weeks off from lifting, I re-injured my pec shoulder situation while I was moving some boxes into my attic. And then I got back into it. And then I got sick again. And then I got back into it. And then I fell down the stairs and thought I broke my elbow, but I didn't. I was fine. And then I started to get back into it, but then I got sick again. And then I attempted to potty train JJ, which if you've been watching my Instagram stories, that was a whole thing. Anyway, this has just been a season of beginning again, and beginning again. And I'm not sharing that because I'm trying to complain about my life or be like, oh, poor me, look at all these bad things that happened to me. I'm sharing that so that you know you're not alone, because I found that this has also been true for a number of my clients right now, whether it is physical health shit or mental health shit or family shit or injuries or like shit that you wouldn't even think that just like freak happens to you all of a sudden, like life happens. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, expecting yourself not to go through these phases where you need to take breaks is wishful thinking at best, and it'll set you up for just hardcore disappointment and just a whole bunch of other shit you don't need in your life at worst. I sent one of my clients the other day because she's going through some shit, and she's been trying so hard in spite of everything that's going on in her life to get through her programming that I've written to her, or to get through the programming that I've written for her. And she has noticeably been very apologetic lately, apologizing or feeling the need to let me know if she needs to miss a workout, or letting me know that she had to cut something short or modify it. And the other day I sent her a message. I actually recorded her a video message, and I was like, you never need to apologize to me for any of this. And you don't even need to explain yourself to me or to anyone. And in fact, what you're doing right now, missing workouts or modifying workouts, is not only more than okay, it's to be expected sometimes. Like, this shit happens. We don't have to throw in the towel entirely because something happens that might potentially be a little blip on the radar. We can work around it. We can work with it. And as I pointed out to her, and I want you to know this too, it's also perfectly okay to just straight up not lift or not do intentional structured workouts for any amount of time because your life is just calling for it. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. And there are ways, and we'll talk about this, to, you know, kind of make it work for yourself, but also like, it's okay. Whatever you need to do to get through your shit, it's okay. So PSA to all of you, but I guess now, I don't even know if that was like the intro or or like part one of this episode, but now I want to talk about things that I learned through not only my first intentional 2 weeks off that I took, but then the additional times where I kind of had to take a little mini break and begin again. So the first thing that I learned is that rest isn't always the answer to healing. And I think sometimes when you are working and playing in the anti-diet space, we are encouraged to rest. And yes, rest is good. We need rest. But just doing nothing and sleeping isn't always the end all be all. I was really hoping that if I just backed off completely and, you know, didn't go lift and got a lot of sleep and laid low and didn't do a whole lot of movement at all, that my injuries would just clear up and I wouldn't get sick. And I gotta be honest, that wasn't necessarily the case for me. And I think I was initially a little bit disappointed, but what I realized that maybe what I didn't need in that deload was to do nothing at all. But what I needed was maybe some very intentional movement that looked a little bit different than the stuff that I had been doing before. And maybe I needed some other self-care practices in there, you know, some massage or, you know, not just sleep, but play, or, you know, we can think of all sorts of other different things that we do to fill up our cups. There are different kinds of rests I think that we need. And I actually think that somewhere existing, I'll have to look into this. I feel like there is a list somewhere about the different kinds of rest that our bodies need, the different things that we need to fill our own cups back up so that we can feel well. Moral of the story, I was hoping that I would do jack shit and that I would never get sick again and that I would never get injured again. And that's just not how life works. Infuriating. Next thing I learned is that habit stacking is real. Are you familiar with habit stacking? I feel like that's a really popular just thing when it comes to habit building. It's where you take a new habit that you want to have, or like a secondary habit, and you stack it on top of something that you're already doing. And one of the things that I'd been doing very well prior to this deload week was doing my physical therapy exercises, because I've been in physical therapy for a bit. And I had been really good about keeping up with my exercises and doing them as prescribed. And the reason was that I had stacked my PT onto things that I was already doing, either going to the gym and lifting weights. I would throw in some of my PT into that, or I would stack some of the exercises onto the end of my dance teaching night. And that was working really well for me. And suddenly, when I took that time off from doing those things, not only having the week off from teaching dance or the 2 weeks off from teaching dance, but also the time off from lifting, all of a sudden I felt like I could not do my physical therapy. I felt like I didn't have the time, which leads me to the next thing that I learned, which is, in spite of the fact that I had more time, I felt like I didn't have the time to work out or the time to do my PT if I wanted to, because I hadn't planned for it. It wasn't a part of my routine. And this was really interesting because I feel like I see this sometimes when I'm working with clients who are trying to get into a new kind of workout schedule or get into lifting in a different way. And it suddenly feels like it's really hard to get that momentum going to do the thing. And it makes me think of a couple things. It makes me think of, number one, the thing that people say where they're like, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. But I also feel like when I have that workout scheduled into my day, or I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, I just know when those things happen that on Monday I lift before I pick my son up from school, and on Tuesday I don't lift but I do some physical therapy after I'm done dance teaching, and then on Wednesday I lift but on Thursday I just, you know, get some nice movement in that feels good, and on Friday I lift but on Saturday I don't, and I do some mobility work and call it a day or whatever. That all went out the window when I decided I wasn't going to do anything. So something that I'm trying to be intentional about as I move forward, when I want to get back into habits or build habits, is to make sure that I actually schedule time for that and take the time to build that momentum, to build that routine so that I'm able to do it. The next thing that I learned is that movement makes me happy. They always say, you know, you always hear people talking about exercise being good for your mental health. And I think I always knew that deep down, but I don't think I realized how much I was actually missing that and how excited I was to get back into the gym afterwards. Movement boosts my mood. Movement gives me energy. And I can't help but realize that during that time off, I just felt a little like, meh. I wasn't getting that boost that I needed, and I wasn't getting nearly enough movement to just help myself to feel well. So moving forward, I'm keeping in mind that even if I'm in a place where I can't do all the things, I think that, you know, maybe not taking full time off from movement, but just lightening up is going to be the best bet for me. Something else that I want to point out about this, because this is where I've seen clients get stuck before, and I have a feeling maybe some of you have done this too, is that I didn't just up and quit the program that I was currently following. So a lot of you know, shout out to Lift with Holly and Erin. Holly was on the podcast last summer, I believe, about a year ago or so. She was on the podcast. I'm a part of their online lifting program. I believe right now, they just changed the name of it. It's like their kettlebell crew or something like that. So Holly and Aaron currently write my programming for me. And in spite of the fact that I knew that I was intentionally taking some time off and then I proceeded to get kicked in the ass over and over again, I did not quit their program. I did not send Holly and Aaron an email and be like, oh, well, I'm taking some time off now, so I'm just gonna like quit for 2 weeks and maybe I'll join later. And I did that intentionally because I find that what I see a lot of people doing is that the minute that they hit one setback, right? Something happens, they get sick, they get injured, they have to take a little bit of time off. What happens is that there's this like guilt and shame that surrounds that, or you feel like your coach is going to be upset with you. So you're like, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to need to take a break. I can't lift for 2 weeks, for a month, whatever. So I need to take a break. I need to quit. And then they either A, never come back, or B, continue to program hop and play this game where they're never really making progress or keeping, I guess, that momentum rolling and going along, keeping that in place. Because anytime a little setback comes along, they quit. Now, I'm not saying this is you, but I don't know. Is it you? Might be you. Anyway, I did not up and quit their program. In fact, I don't even remember if I even said anything to them about my deload. I think they might have seen it on my Instagram stories or something like that. Because I know as a fellow coach and I know them, and hopefully, you know, if you're working with a coach or plan to in the future, that you're working with somebody who understands that life gets lifey and these things are going to happen. Surprise, surprise. I didn't lose all my fitness. That is the next thing that I learned about this. And it's interesting because this is something that I preach all the time. If you build up that consistency, I talk about the strength savings account, how if you lift for a long period of time or really do any of that activity, you build up this bank, this level of capacity that doesn't just all go to shit the minute you take a break. And the longer you're consistent, the more that is true. But y'all, I'll be honest, I hadn't taken that amount of time off, 2 whole weeks of not touching a weight. I can't even tell you the last time that that happened. And I was pleasantly surprised to find, I mean, not even surprised, I guess, just pleasantly enjoyed the fact that I did not lose all of my fitness. I did ease back into it a little bit, and we can talk about how to do that in ways that you can set yourself up for success when you're getting back into lifting. But yeah, that was a really good feeling. Another good feeling that I had, in spite of that, I realized that this was the first time that I didn't worry about gaining weight or burning calories or making up for it. And I think that's another thing that I also kind of knew that I was feeling and that I would be okay about. But I hadn't taken this kind of time off from working out in a long time. And it didn't register for me. I feel like a past version of me would have been very concerned about the fact that like, oh, well, I'm not going to the gym. I'm not burning these extra calories. And, you know, so now I need to eat less to make up for it. Or now I need to like do something to make up for it later. But that didn't even cross my mind. And once I realized that it hadn't, I was like, shit, that feels really, really good. And it's really exciting and encouraging. Another thing that I learned, sometimes rest means letting go of the expectation that you'll be productive in other ways. I think for me, when I took this time off from lifting, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll fill the time that I would have been in the gym with like organizing my whole house or, you know, getting a lot of like admin work done for my business or, you know, doing some extra things for my clients, whatever. And I realized that once I slowed down, like, fuck, I was also just tired. I needed that, not only the physical rest, but I think beyond the physical rest, I also just needed the mental and emotional break of being on a schedule and like going all of the time. So I guess that's just to say, if you're somebody who chooses to take a deload of any sorts, you know, to maybe just lean into that and let go of the expectation that you're going to do other stuff instead, because rest isn't really rest if you're, I don't know, just pushing yourself to go, go, go in other ways. Something else that I learned that was, oh, interesting, but like, I guess I already knew this. I can really only go outside when the weather is nice. I feel like I want to be one of those all weather people. I always hear people talking about like going for walks or runs in the winter, or like, oh, just get outside if you have the right like gear, whatever. No, I can't. It was spring break when I took my time off and I was hoping maybe I'd take some nice walks or bike rides outside. And I didn't, because I live in Illinois and it was cold. It was cold. It was kind of rainy. I wasn't feeling it. And I'm sharing that because I'm thinking about how it applies, going back to the idea of like those silly reasons why you feel like you quote unquote should be able to do something, but you don't. I don't know. I think this just taught me that I need to lean into the fact that maybe I am just not an all weather outdoors kind of girl. I need to be an indoor worker outer when it's cold out, and that is okay for me and for you. You just got to know that about yourself, you know? One thing that having this time and space in my schedule also kind of made me realize was that I had the capacity to now take a look at some of my other goals and some of the things that I had been talking about doing with Julie and working together, and whether or not they actually make sense for me. Initially, in going into working with her, I was thinking to myself that I was going to try to incorporate some more cardio into my life, some intentional like zone two cardio. I know that that can be very good for recovering from lifting workouts. You know, and we threw that on the calendar for a couple of weeks as a goal. And I'm like, you know what? No, I don't want to prioritize that right now. It doesn't make sense in my life. I don't have the time for it. Not only in terms of like physically not having the time, because of course I could make the time if I wanted to, but I realized that would cut into some other things that are more important to me. For example, lifting. Right now, that's kind of my priority workout of choice. I would rather lift than do cardio if I'm going to the gym. And then thinking about other times that could potentially happen, it would cut into some of my weekend time or some of my dance class planning time or other different things that I want to do with my day. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to force myself to have to do zone two cardio on a Sunday. I just want to enjoy my Sunday sometimes and see what happens. And I think that's okay. I think that's okay to set a goal for yourself and then decide maybe in this season of life, it doesn't make sense. And being able to take that time off and create that space for myself helped me to discover that. Something else that I realized in this time off from lifting is that I really appreciate the ritual of lifting time, even if I'm not doing much other than my physical therapy exercises. Because once I got back into lifting again and going to the gym, I was obviously easing into it, taking things a little bit slower. After I re-injured my pec the second time moving those boxes, I had to weigh back off from upper body stuff for a few more weeks. And I realized that that time, even if I'm just like in the space and wiggling or rolling around on the floor or whatever, I really value that ritual. Maybe you do too. And then the final important thing that I want to share is that it is okay not to be crushing it every time. Even if you're doing something like lifting weights where you look around the internet and it feels like everyone is crushing it and doing super hard things, I learned and want to remind you that it is 100% okay to be in a phase of maintenance or a phase of just doing whatever feels good. And maybe you do regress a little bit, but knowing that taking time off is not a moral failing. It is not only okay, but it is to be expected. In fact, I, again, program for my clients a deload week every now and then so that I encourage them to do that, because I think the biggest lesson of all is that if you don't intentionally take this time off, sometimes life will just hand it to you And that's not a moral failing either, by the way, if you have to take a deload week that was not scheduled or planned. But there's value in it and there's learning in it. So I would encourage you, if you are in a season right now where you are needing to back off, to take some time to reflect on what you're learning about yourself, what you're learning about your body, how you want to take things moving forward, because I think there is so much value in taking time off. There's so much value in a deload in whatever way it looks for you. So, anyway, those were all of my thoughts. I hope that was somewhat coherent. I hope it made sense. I hope you found some nuggets in there that were helpful for you. I hope you can take what I learned about myself and then apply it to your own experience, because obviously that is very different. And likewise, if you feel like you want a little bit more structure around your workouts, if you want a little bit more community support, if you want to be working with a coach who cares about you as a whole human and supports you when you need to take time away without feeling like you are behind or without it being laced with guilt and shame, if you're somebody who is already going to the gym, but maybe just doing all the things aimlessly, and you want a little bit more guidance on how to lift and how to know when to push and when to back off and when to take a full-on break and when to mix things up or take a different variation or slow down or press the gas or whatever, my online group coaching program, Tough Love Strength Club, could be a really great fit for you. That program is currently open for enrollment as we speak. And if you want to learn more about that and see if it is for you, I will leave a link to that in the show notes, or you go to itsjennaj.com, work with me, find that. And I would love to see you in that group this summer. So anywho, that's all I've got for today, friends. Have a great day. Have a great week. And we'll talk soon. Thanks again for tuning into Tough Cookie Talks. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to learn more about me and how we can work together, visit my website, itsjennaj.com, or follow and tag me on Instagram at itsjennaj. I would love to hear from you. If you like this episode and want to hear more, make sure you click subscribe and follow along so that you don't miss a single show. Then take a moment and leave me a 5-star rating and review so that we can help this podcast and this message reach even more people. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.